Today on Piano Jazz, Marian McPartland has chosen to bring you a program she originally recorded in 1989 with pianist, singer, and composer Dr. John, blending R&B, pop, rock, jazz, zydeco, and an unmistakable voice. He creates his unique take on New Orleans musical flavor. Here's Marian as she welcomes Dr. John.
Welcome to Piano Jazz.
It's a real treat to be here with you.
Well, I'm really looking forward to hearing you sing and play something. So what's this one going to be, do you think, for an opener?
Right Place at the Wrong Time. That was my biggest selling record.
Been in the right place, must have been the wrong time. I was in the right city, must have been the wrong line. I've been on the right trip, made it in the wrong car. My head's in a bad place, wonder what it's bad for. I've been in the right place, must have been the wrong time. I was in the right world, must have been the wrong. I've been running, trying to catch hung up in my mind. Got to give myself a good talking to this time. Need a little brain salad surgery. Got the cure for this insecurity. I've been in the right place, must have been the wrong time. I was in the right set, must have been the wrong mind. I've been in the right brain, must have used the wrong one. I was in the right set, must have been wrong. Slipping, dodging, sneaking, peeping, so hiding out down the street. See my life shaking with every who I meet. Refried confusion, keep making itself clear. Wonder which way I got to go to get on out of here. I've been in the right place, must have been the wrong time. I was in the right set, must have been the wrong mind. I've been on the right rail, must have used the wrong sauce. I played the right race, must have bet the wrong horse. I've been on the right road, must have used the wrong car. My head's in a bad place, wonder what it's bad for. I've been in the right place, must have been the wrong time. I was in the right world, must have been the wrong time.
You know, I love that song. It's got such a great rhythmic feel to it. You've got a sort of natural built-in swinging feeling. Besides which, that lyric, I guess that's sort of the story of your life, isn't it?
Yeah, it's what it exactly is. In fact, when we recorded it, that's all I had to it was that one line. And was lucky I had a bunch of songwriters around me to give me some more lines to finish it up, make it sound like a real song.
Oh, great. So everybody put their suggestion in the pot.
Yes. At the time I was recording that for Atlantic, there was like guys like Bob Dylan and Sir Douglas and Betty Midler and all these people that all wrote songs around, and they all helped me with it. So I didn't give them any credit. But
I was just going to say, not a bad group of people, though, to help you write your song. Now, how about this next one, Pine Tops Boogie? That's a real old one that I used to hear Mead, Lux, Lewis and Pine Top play that on a record in England years ago. So
I learned this song from James Booker, who recorded this with in 1956 for Aladdin Records. And back then I was playing guitar, but it's always been a song that I enjoyed. And I like to put a lyric in with it that Chris Kenner wrote called Sick and Tired.
Okay.
Oh, baby, what you gonna do? You know I'm sick and tired fooling around with you.
Wow, that thing really moves. How old were you when you started playing? Teenager?
No, I was about 6-7 years old. I learned how to play one hand of the Texas boogie. You know, the...
That's not that easy to do, really. I know the first time I tried it. Well, when you do it in other keys, it's hard. I guess it's not so bad in C.
It took me forever to learn how to do something different with my right hand and my left hand. I know my aunt and my uncle taught me that you should know how to keep the rhythm the same, even though the notes were different, until I could learn how to get some kind of independence. Well, I was about maybe 12 or 13 by the time I quit driving them crazy with the same thing with both hands forever. But I think that and Everybody Loves My Baby was like some of the first tunes that I remember hearing back when I was, you know, around my family at least.
Well, did you learn it by ear? Are you self-taught?
Well, I took guitar lessons, but I never took any really piano lessons. I had some very good guitar teachers, Paul and Al Gooma and Roy Montrell and Walter Papoose Nelson. And the last two guys worked with Fast Domino's Band and were studio guitar players and got me in this working like as a sub for them on record dates when I was like 15 years old. And I kind of slid into the recording scene as a teenager through that. And
as a guitar player?
Yes.
And then you got into piano a little later?
Well, what happened in 1960, I was in a brawl and got in a shot in my finger, and I couldn't play the guitar for a while, so I had to play bass with the Dixieland Band for a year, and I wasn't real happy playing the bass because I didn't mind playing the electric bass, but the upright bass, I played a little bit out of position. It was real hard for me to keep, you know, stay in position with it, so...
The tunes they play, you probably had to play in two.
All night.
See, that must have been pretty boring after a while. I'll just keep going.
Well, the worst part to me was a lot of... They weren't... The guys that I worked with at the time weren't like New Orleans Dixieland bands. More of them played more Kansas City style and all the other kind of stuff. And the stuff I loved was real New Orleans stuff at the time. And it was very frustrating to me to play with various New Orleans bands that weren't playing New Orleans jazz, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it really got me crazy just because they didn't play anything in the book that was real New Orleans.
Well, like what, for instance?
Well, I mean, they'd play, you know, whether it was like Wolverine Blues or Strutting with Some Barbecue, any of those tunes, they'd play them. And when they'd swing them, they'd be like more Kansas City style. Like, instead of playing, like in New Orleans, we played a 2-4 thing like... Wouldn't have that in their thing. It would just be two, you know. Very square. And then when they walked the things, it was very straight walking. They didn't want anything kind of hip at all. It was just keep it very... But I worked for like a year at Hip Ginley's famous Dual Lounge down there. And I think when Hip offered me the gig for the rest of my life, I said, I quit, and I don't want no more parts of this, and started playing. James Booker at the time taught me how to play organ to take a gig at three clubs that were like, you know, it was at the time Jimmy Smith was getting popular. And
oh, yeah.
So there was a lot of organ gigs, so James taught me how to play the Hammond B3 organ, and... It turned into a whole new career for me playing. I never got through the lessons where I learned how to play the hand bass a la Jimmy Smith and all, but I did at least learn the foot pedals and the stops and how to play enough to get through doing the kind of gigs we were doing there.
God, that's the hardest part for me was the footwork. I had to play it. I played at somebody's funeral once, and I went in early when nobody was in the church and marked off the foot pedals with a lipstick so that I would know what to hit when I was playing this certain hymn.
Right.
So Well, how about if we try a duet, John? It's a tune from a movie that Louis Armstrong sang in the movie, I think. Do you know what it means to miss New Orleans?
All right.
Okay?
Sure. Thank you.
You know, it's really a great song, and it's written by a guy named Lou Alter. Well, before we go any further, I think I should let people know what's happening here. My guest is Dr. John. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. Did you ever know Louis Armstrong? I guess you're too young to have ever met him.
I met Louis at one of the first jazz and heritage festivals in New Orleans.
Did you?
And it was a real thrill to meet Louis, you know, like all-time heroes. You know.
He was a nice guy, wasn't he?
Yes, a real sweetheart.
Yeah, and we knew him pretty well. My husband, Jimmy, and he pretty well grew up together. So when I came here from England, I was so thrilled to get to meet him. And, you know, he was a real good friend of ours. And so was Lil, actually. Did you ever meet his...
No, but I sure loved, like, Just for a Thrill and those two.
I was just going to mention that. Isn't that a good song, Just for a Thrill?
Oh, it's a gorgeous tune.
Now, she always says that she wrote Strutting with Some Barbecue, and he says he wrote it.
Uh-oh.
I don't know how this is going to sound as a piano solo, but we'll find out in a minute. You know, we recorded that with a trio, and I'll tell you something, it's a lot easier to play with the trio than as a solo, because you have to do, there's a lot to do in that tune. It's just one of those things.
I was really pleased to hear you do that stride section.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, I love to try my hand at that once in a while. It's fun. So, well, let's have a go at another duet. You've got some good tunes in your head. And you mentioned this one, Making Whoopee.
Yes, I just recorded this on my new album for Warner Brothers, and Ralph Burns wrote a real nice bassy type arrangement for it. It was like 21 pieces. And
oh, that must sound lovely. Well, let's put some meat into our version, huh?
All right.
¶¶
A duet of Making Whoopee, played by Marion McPartland and her guest, Dr. John. There'll be more talk and music in a minute. You can find artist information, set lists, and more on our website, pianojazz.npr.org. This is Piano Jazz from NPR.
Now, how do you learn tunes or decide which ones are good for you? How do you pick them out?
Well, actually, on this record, Tommy Lapone, a producer, he just got some fake books and a whole bunch of lead sheets, and we just went through everything we could think of. And a lot of tunes, I just flat out couldn't cut them. A lot of tunes. It just didn't sound right, me even trying. You know, we had tried everything from Over the Rainbow, which sounded ridiculous, me trying to sing something like that.
No, that wouldn't really be your cup of tea, exactly.
But, I had never sung any of these tunes. I didn't actually sing in my life till 67 when I made my first Dr. John album. I'd always just been a studio musician, backing singers, and never had tried to sing, and only made a record, first Dr. John album, singing as an accident. The guy that I planned to produce to be Dr. John, his manager thought it was a bad career move for him to do it. And as it turned out, I had this project all ready to go, and I just did it myself out of spite. And thought it would be a one-off deal. Never thought I would be doing another record.
That's fantastic. You just jumped in and you were all of a sudden you were Dr. John.
Yes, I never wanted to be a front guy in life. It was like, I watched what happened to guys that were front guys in bands for years, and they had all the headaches, and I could sit back and be a side man and be happy. All of a sudden, I got into it, and it wasn't as bad as I thought, but it still has a lot of headaches that sidemen don't have to contend with.
Yeah, that's true. And being the leader, and so I know exactly what you're talking about. Well, how about another song from the new record?
All right.
From you, John.
This is an old Louis Jordan tune that he recorded in the 40s, and Ray Charles recorded in the 50s, called Don't Let the Sun Catch You Crying.
Ooh, that's great.
Woman, don't you shed no crocodile tears. I'll never take you back in a million years. But don't let the sun catch you crying, crying at my front door. You done did it dirty, and you sure don't want you no more. Don't let the sun get you lying, lying at my front door. Daddy done turned salty, baby, you made him so sore. You can cry, cry, cry. Yes, baby, you can wail. put your little head on a blanket till the man comes and throws you in jail. But don't let the sun catch you crying, crying at my front door. You done did it dirty. You sure don't want you no more. Get you crying, crying at my front door. You know you done me dirty, and sure don't want you no more. Done dirty, dirty, and he sure don't want you no more.
Oh, that's wonderful. I was just thinking, what do you think it is about you that make yourself so appealing to so many people? What's that quality you have that really draws people?
I don't think I have a clue what makes people dig on anything in particular. I think on gigs, I think people enjoy when their spirit's up. Other than that, I really don't know what exactly makes things work. But I do have a clue of what makes things get house. And I noticed over the years a certain tried and true formulas that always work. Just like if you hear a rhythm section, you go, ba-da-da-da-da, yeah. Those little things always work. And if you utilize certain things like that, you know you're going to get house. And I think those things, in some way, if you don't overdo them and run them into the ground.
You know you're going to get, what did you say? You know you're going to get house?
Yeah.
What's that? I don't know what that
well,
means.
Well, you know, you get the house, you know.
Oh, get the house. I got to remember that one. I'd like to tell everybody once again what's going on here. My guest is Dr. John. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. Well, how about another song, John?
All right, this is a Professor Longhead tune, and it was quite a change of a pace of a song for Professor Longhair. He had always done these eight-bar blues, and it's in a it's kind of in that format of like a 12-bar blues, but the rhythm and the bass line is quite different. I enjoy it. It's a traditional song. It's become a traditional Mardi Gras Indian song in New Orleans. That when you see the Mardi Gras Indians at Carnival come out in all of their finery, they have adapted this song as they do all the old traditional songs that's been here for 100 years or so, and this has become like a standard with them.
Oh, great.
And here's Big Chief.
Heading on down to the milk for me. Spy me find a wild man scream. Me old tribe is having fun. Second line till morning come. Me Big Chief got my red engine feather in me head. My spy boy just went by. My spy boys are full of fire. Me Big Chief, me feeling good. Me gonna do everything me could.
I really love that song, especially the whistle part.
Yeah, that's one of Professor Longhair's trademarks, because he had that ability to whistle like a bird.
I'm curious, what was his actual name?
Henry Rowland Byrd was his real name. I think he recorded some records like Bald Head and some things in the 40s that were under his real name. He took that Professor Longhand name when he had a group in New Orleans, the Chepaka Shawees. That was a very interesting group that was the first group I ever heard. Had three trombones and a tenor and a rhythm section like they had. I mean, prior to in the 40s and early 50s, you mostly heard shuffle and swing rhythms, and they turned into this eighth note rhythm that has kind of been used to death today with rock music, but they used it in a much more syncopated Latin thing, and this thing they used of the Mardi Gras march rhythm mixed with those sort of Brazilian sambas and Cuban rhythms and Jamaican, all of the Afro-Caribbean rhythms. That I think he turned the New Orleans thing into a real healthy scene.
You know, I was wondering about a tune I like to play, Tin Roof Blues. Do you know if that's a New Orleans tune or not?
I really don't know, but it's so much in that mold, it must at least be partially from New Orleans at the very least.
Well, here goes, Tin Roof Blues. it's not the real thing, but it's sort of, it's got some of my own background in there. It's sort of, you might call it the English American blues.
I love
something
it.
Like that.
Part of the New Orleans thing is you take a little bit of this and a little bit of that and make a gumbo out of it, and that's kind of what it's all about.
Well, it's wonderful, I'll tell you that. And having you here to do piano jazz has really been an education for me. I just love listening to you play and sing, and it's, I'm just so happy that you could make it.
Oh, I appreciate you having me so much, Mary.
Well, we'll have to do it again sometime, but meanwhile, here's another duet. Now, this ought to work out well. Swanee River.
All right.
Okay. That was fun. I don't think I've played that tune for years, John. That really makes a nice closer to the show. And thanks again for being here.
Well, thank you so much for having me. God bless.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with host Marian McPartland and her guest, Dr. John, in a program which originally aired in 1989. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Andrew Milano, mastering engineer Bill Sexton, executive producer William D. Hay. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the Friends of Piano Jazz, from the National Endowment for the Arts, Artworks. Support also comes from Downbeat, an insider's guide to over 75 years of evolving jazz styles, on the web at downbeat.com. Original funding for this program was provided by Exxon Corporation. Funding for digital conversion was provided by Save America's Treasures through a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Park Service Department of the Interior. Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from NPR. Contributors include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, recognizing exceptionally creative individuals. This year's MacArthur Fellows are at macfound.org. And the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org. This is NPR.